this is Mark, and you are listening to the King of Queens podcast. We've made it. It's episode 6. I have, from the other side of the planet, really, in the future, our first international guest. We have Nitin. He's a freelance journalist. He's out of India. And he's a passion and love of 80s and 90s television and films. If I'm skipping over anything, Nitin, you know, please feel free to, you know, throw that in. But you also, you're going to send me your website whenever you get a chance, or even if you want to say it right now and send me a link to it, I'll put it into the show notes, but we'll mention it again later.
I've sent it on Watch Party.
Oh, I see it now. Cyberjournal24.in, which is .com.in.
Yeah, it's specifically for India. I mean, Indian domain, you can say.
Yeah. Well, Nitin, thank you for taking the time to come on here. Welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Mark. God's grace. And I would like to thank you for giving this opportunity to, you know, share my feelings about the show.
It's gonna be a really funny one. This is a really hilarious episode. Originally aired, this is their Halloween episode, which I think is kind of crazy. It's October 26, 1998. It's Head First. This might be, maybe you might know, is this the final episode for Sarah Spooner?
She disappears after this episode. I mean, in later episodes, you know, at some point, I mean, I'm not able to remember episode name, but one of the later episodes, Dev said, Carrie is the only child.
Yeah, it's just crazy. I mean, even the episode where Carrie is, she finds out that her name is not Carrie, that it's Simone, that they could have kind of thrown this. I don't know. I've shared my thoughts about this in the other episodes because, as I mentioned, this is episode 6 of the King of Queens podcast. But so I've recorded another bunch of episodes, but as of recording this right now, there's only the pilot that's available publicly. But if you subscribe, it's coming out every 2 weeks, and you know, maybe I'll turn it into a weekly thing if we can garner enough support. But it's a lot of work to do a podcast. So nevertheless, Nitin, welcome to the show. And I say we get into it. Let's play our first clip where it's the cold opening of In the Heffernan Household.
Morning, Dad.
Morning.
Where'd you get the Wall Street Journal?
Huh? Oh, from the, what do you call it?
The neighbor's porch?
From the, what do you call it?
Right.
You stole their newspaper?
I did not steal it. It is a well-known principle of common law that any newspaper not taken inside by 7:30 a.m. is free game.
This is untrue. This is not true. This is an Arthurism. It's amazing.
Yeah. He keeps on doing this throughout later seasons as well. I mean, just correct me if I'm wrong, but in one of the later episodes, if I remember correctly, it was episode 2 from season 5. Mm-hmm. Arthur actually steals a bunch of frames from their new neighbors.
With diplomas in them.
Yeah, with diplomas, yeah. And when Carrie asks him for an explanation, he says our neighbor has got an MBA from Harvard, so he can easily afford a couple of new frames.
That's amazing.
So he keeps on doing this, you know, he keeps on stealing stuff.
You know, whenever Arthur talks about these things, it's such a weird thing for us because he's so matter of fact. You know, he'll just, it's common law, blah, blah, blah. I've just thought about this. You know, you've used AI, right? Like for different things.
Yeah.
And you've probably gotten into the point where you use AI and it's completely wrong.
Wrong, yeah.
But it's very matter of fact. So I have to say, like ChatGPT or Grok or whatever flavor people are using is essentially being run by the mind of Arthur.
Oh,
because
right. I mean, that's correct.
It is literally
Arthur. They try to justify You know, these tools try to, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but these tools try to justify their wrong answers.
Right. And then they double down sometimes. And then when you call them out, it's like, I apologize.
Grok,
It's
right. Especially Grok.
So from now on, I'm going to think of this as Arthur Slop. Arthur Intelligence.
Yeah, that won't be wrong. Yeah.
It's Arthur. We're coining it right here on the spot. Arthur Intelligence, AI Slop is, the mind of Arthur.
Right.
Yeah, listen to how matter of fact he is.
You stole their newspaper?
I did not steal it. It is a well-known principle of common law that any newspaper not taken inside by 7:30 a.m. is free game.
I have to clip this. You know, one of the things I keep saying is what I'm going to, on my other podcasts, I do a podcast called about Little House on the Prairie, very different than this, called Walnut Grovecast. And one of the things is that I play a lot of audio clips over and over and over and over and over again. And at first I thought people would find it annoying. And now people seem to really like it. Like, quote, this is from Little House on the Prairie, for instance. Like,
talk.
You know, stuff like that. So that's Harriet Olsen, by the way. So I'm making a promise. The next episode of the King of Queens podcast is going to have a ton of Arthur-isms played and peppered throughout it. It's just too lonely to not have him.
Yeah.
But Carrie corrects his AI slop, his Arthur intelligence slop. I'm surprised she didn't use her watch ring to tell us what time it is.
Right.
It's 7:15.
Ah, they're dead asleep, I checked.
So, Arthur's awesome. Arthur's just such a...
Yeah.
So let's see. Carrie is getting ready for a bachelorette party. She's going to Rhonda Levine's bachelorette party. Explains, you know, just kind of like she's in kind of wedding hell. You know, like there's the bridal party and the bachelorette party and all this kind of stuff. And then she's like, maybe I'll never have to see Rhonda again.
See her again, yeah.
And that's pretty Carrie style, right?
Yeah.
And I keep seeing it on the show. Leah Remini is one of these, I think, really remarkably funny women who just doesn't get the kind of credit that maybe she should. I think she's funnier than all of the other sitcom females at the period of time, within reason. I mean, of course, you have people like on Seinfeld, you know, like they're legitimately hilarious. I don't know. I don't know if Leah Remini could hold, you know, go nose to nose with the Seinfeld crew, but I think that she's certainly really, really just, she's a great straight woman. But she's also, she knows how to tell a joke. And her whole attitude and everything, I think, is super amazing. I love Leah Remini.
Right. Yeah. I guess this is the reason creators of Kevin Can Wait got Leah back as, as Doug's wife. I mean, not Doug, Kevin's wife.
Yeah, yeah.
in the second season of Kevin Can Wait, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, and that was, it left a lot of people like pretty salty. I tried to watch the show. I didn't really care for it. And if they had launched the show with Leah Remini to begin with, I feel as though that show would have been over the top successful, or at least it would have been.
Right. Five ratings seasons. Would have been far better. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're true. Yeah, right.
The concept wasn't great. I mean, I think he was like a retired cop. Like, I don't know. We want Doug back, you know?
Right.
Then, with any luck at all, I'll never have to see her again.
So what kind of bachelorette party this going to be tonight, huh? Rowdy? A lot of drinking?
Well, I certainly hope so.
Stripper?
God willing.
Well, do yourself a favor and don't judge his body based on mine, because it's not fair to him.
Well, one of the things that I really like about these earlier episodes is, and we do get this throughout the entire series, peppered throughout, is how much they love each other and how much they kind of, for whatever reason, are super attracted to each other and have a very active sex life. And I think, it's not, I've mentioned this before and I'm promising to like tone it down, because I've been talking a bit of, I'm making the comparison to the Ray Romano show, the Everybody mm-hmm. Loves Raymond. And okay. I point, have you ever watched it?
Yeah, a few episodes, just a few of them.
So my number one issue is, and I think that the show is hilarious. It's beautifully written. Peter Boyle is genius. But the problem that I have that stands out to me with every single episode is that Deborah and Ray hate each other, and they genuinely hate each other, and they come off as people who should not be married, and they'll be divorced soon. And although mm-hmm. Carrie and Doug will fight and they'll argue and they'll do this, even when they split up at the end of the series for a while, I didn't feel as though they hated each other. Like it didn't get as nasty as like your average episode of Everyone Loves Raymond.
Right.
That's just the way.
Very true. That's true.
By the way, can you have a few singles?
That's very fun.
Yeah. Oh, no, Carrie, don't get him worked up. You're going to make us late.
So this is a weird little comment. Don't get him all worked up. It's so weird.
Hey, you know how late we are because of you? Okay, so you had the bigger room growing up. Get over it. All right, let's just go. Come on.
I mean, so being that this is the sixth episode, not just of the show, but of the podcast, it's, I think that they probably did a six episode buy of the show.
Right.
And I feel like it's possible that the pilot wasn't even a real pilot. I feel as though they said, we like the concept, we're going to run with it. Just make six episodes right off the bat. Because it
right.
doesn't
this
make
is
sense.
Highly likely.
It doesn't make sense why Sarah would be gone after this episode and just never discussed again. Wait, is there another coffee maker right there? Do we have another coffee? We have a, like, if you look on the left side of the screen. Mm-hmm. By the way, all these videos will be available publicly.
Yeah, this.
I don't know where.
Right, this looks like a coffee maker. You're right.
Is that
the white one, yeah,
that.
Behind this green colored jar.
Too funny.
Okay.
And I also have been noticing there's one particular photo behind Sarah's big head where it's there. It's blurry now, but it looks like Leah Remini with her real husband. And previously I said I think it's Kevin James, but I think it might be Kevin's brother. What's his name? Valentine?
Valentine.
I always forget his first name. I want to say Scott Valentine, but I think that's like a different person. But anyway, so this picture hasn't moved, which also makes me feel like these episodes were probably shot, in a very short period of time and they didn't change the set. And, you know, it didn't, not enough time went by where they're moving too much stuff, you know?
Right.
Okay. Bye.
And you know,
sorry.
I'm sorry. You can go ahead. I'll
no, you
I'll
can talk.
It's about the set. I mean, I've watched all the episodes of Mr. Belvedere. So there are a lot of similarities between this. I mean, this like Mr. Belvedere has been filmed in front of live studio audience, right?
Mm-hmm.
Both have been filmed in front of live studio audience.
But has
it
this
is just
been?
That studios were different. Yeah. Yeah.
Was King of Queens filmed in front of a live studio audience?
Live studio audience, yeah.
I mean, it couldn't have
but
been.
But studios were different.
Yeah, I don't know if
studios
it could
were different.
I don't know if it could have been filmed. The whole thing is definitely made up of multiple takes. You know, like, you know, with the Honeymooners live in front of a studio audience is like watching a play. This being different scenes, you wouldn't be able to really assemble a show like this completely in front of a studio audience. I know that I've worked in television, so, but I've never worked on a show with a soundtrack, with a laugh track. And one of the things, though, that I wonder, and maybe you know this as a fact, what would stop them from just showing the final episode in like a theater and recording the audience? I don't know if that's maybe a way they got the sound.
They've done that for Mr. Belvedere. I mean, they've done that for Mr. Belvedere in the last episode. They have actually filmed audiences as well. I mean, audiences sitting inside that studio.
Huh. So, yeah, I just wonder, you know, I don't know exactly how it was done with these. But for all it does sound, I bring it up a couple episodes ago, where it does legitimately sound like a real audience. But, you know, let's go with that it's filmed in front of a live studio audience.
I'm just going to Cooper's with the guy who shoots some pool.
Okay, well, have fun.
All right.
Okay, bye.
All right, so enter... I mean, he's coming for the second time in the episode, but we have Arthur coming out of his basement. He has... Do you know what canoe is? Because later on, like, she mentions canoe. Canoe is like an old 50s cologne. It's like old man cologne. Another thing I've been noticing, and people are like, oh my God, please stop talking about it, but I'm never going to because it's my podcast. Kevin, now I'm going to call him Kevin. So if you look at his watch, it's a G-Shock. So at some point, this G-Shock is going to be upgraded to a nicer watch. So I'm watching. I really want to keep an eye on that. So yeah, he's...
Thank God it's Friday. I thought the weekend would never get here. So where are we off to tonight, kids? Jazz at the Cotton Club? Prize fight at the Yankee Stadium?
He's just, you know, Arthur would have been a lot of fun in the 40s.
Right.
It is Friday, right?
Yeah, just not in the year that you think.
So here we have a better picture of this. I don't know if you can see, it's more clear. That's definitely Kevin James. I don't know. That's probably the clearest I've gotten of this. I'm going to take a screenshot for posterity. So yeah, it's just... It's just kind of interesting if, like, it's like, hey, why is Carrie with some guy, you know, and with her husband?
Whatever you kids are into is fine, just as long as we have some fun. So how about it? That's 23 Skidoo!
So 23 Skidoo is another comment that's kind of funny. It's like a really old school 1930s, kind of like, let's get out of here. Or, you know, it's like pretty much consider one of the first... fad slang terms in the 20th century. I mean, there's a lot of them that came out in the 20s and 30s, but that's one of the big ones.
Actually, Dad, Sarah and I are going to a bachelorette party, and Doug's going to hang out with some of his friends.
Oh. Uh-huh.
We didn't know that you were expecting to go out tonight.
Well, just a lifetime of habit, I suppose. Friday night, big night. Well, anyway, you kids have fun. I'm going to head back down and see if I can't get that heater to stop leaking methane gas once and for all.
Amazing. So, yeah, they're feeling a little bit guilty. And they're like, Doug, can you just take him with your stupid friends? And finally, he's like, there's no way. And they all leave. And you're like, all right, well, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah, he returns because of his love and respect towards Arthur. So
yeah,
this is where this fun begins.
His love and respect, which is tested on a daily basis.
Yeah.
So let's see. We got a shot of Cooper's. Cooper's, of course, is the exterior of Cooper's is a place that exists in Queens. And in one of the earlier episodes of the King of Queens podcast, we were talking about doing a possible meetup there. So. I don't know if you want to fly in from India, but you're more than welcome. We're going to try to do something like that. And, of course, this is not the real interior of, I forget what it's called. It's like an Irish pub.
Sorry for the package, right? I'm not allowed to come inside. And then I swear to God, her robe just opens.
What? Get out of here.
I'm telling you. She pulls the sash, the thing opens, boom. I'm staring right at Simon and Garfunkel.
Man, I would have gone for it.
Yeah, you would have run away screaming.
Hey, I get hit on a lot at work, okay?
What? When they're buying Subway tokens, they fondle your hand through a little slot?
Yeah, your mother does.
All right, that's awesome. So, out of all of Doug's friends, who do you think stands out? Like, do you have a personal favorite?
Well, Well, Deacon is my favorite, but Spence is not bad. I mean, he may not be as good as Deacon, but Spence has his own way of conveying things. I mean, especially in his scenes with Arthur. I mean, later on, in some of later episodes, Arthur always tries to con Spence into offering him free subway rides. So he has his own charm. But Deacon is my favorite because, I mean, Deacon's lines in this particular episode are some of the best ones.
Yeah,
you know, he has got some of the best dialogues.
I think Deacon is definitely the best, you know, friend. But I really like Spence. I wish they kept Richie around.
But after third season, I guess he disappears after season three, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, he, I'm not really sure what happened, why, you know, but I also cannot picture Lou Ferrigno and Richie, you know, together. You know, I don't think they would have meshed well on screen. I don't know. There's a lot of dynamics that I don't think would have worked. In general, actually, if you said, yeah, we're going to bring Lou Ferrigno onto the show, I'm like, eh, it sounds like a pretty bad idea. And I love Lou Ferrigno, but when they did, I thought it was a winning addition. I think Lou Ferrigno ends up being kind of hilarious in a lot of parts of this.
Yeah.
So I love that with Richie, like your mother did, and he's like, you're going to beat him up.
Story, please, huh? So anyway, I'm trying to look like I'm not rattled,
hey,
you know?
Doug, where's the old man?
So Arthur's just kind of roaming around the pub.
Oh, there he is.
One of the brightest pubs I've ever seen in my life.
Let me go wrangle him. Arthur, come on, let's go. We got a booth.
What kind of a joint is this anyway? One of those private after-hour clubs?
So Arthur does these things whenever there's women around where he does this forward motion. It's so funny.
Yeah.
Just a place we hang out.
Cops ever come in and bust it up?
It's a restaurant. Come on.
All right. One of those like perfect moments, another Arthurism where he goes to the pool table, slaps down a nickel.
That's my marker, gentlemen.
Okay. That's my marker. You're like, what are you even talking about?
Yeah.
So do you play pool? Are you a pool person? Billiards?
No. I've never played that, in fact.
Really? All right. You might like it. Given the opportunity, you should at the very least try it. It could be it could be fun.
Same fellas who are in the car with us?
Same ones. Okay, where was I? Anyway, her robe's open, right? And now she's got my pen. She won't give me the pen. So I'm looking at her. I'm like, look, lady, if you don't sign for the package, I'm going to have to call my supervisor, right?
You're going to call O'Boyle. He would have been there 5 minutes with his pants.
So I'm going to play this whole clip. Later on, a lot of this episode ends up being pretty visual. But I'm going to play this whole clip because it is so amazing what I think they do with this. Becomes a trend for Arthur to just come up with these ridiculous, crazy stories and just monopolize the conversation.
Right.
I think we all hope to be Arthur one day.
Yeah, once we cross 50 or possibly 60.
50? I'm already 52. I've crossed.
52. Oh, you don't sound 52. You sound younger. So
I always hear it. It's, my wife is younger, and I just, my lifestyle keeps me young.
Young, yeah.
I think.
Boy, who's our boy?
He's our boss at work. So anyway, her robe's open, right. Completely open. She's got the pen.
Irishman?
Who?
Oh, Boyle.
He an Irishman? Yeah, I guess so. So what? It doesn't matter.
I fought in the Battle of the Bulge with an Irishman. His name was O'Shannon. Saw him get his nose shut right off his face.
Oh, my God.
Choked to death on his own blood, screaming for his mother. Oh, but we saved your precious Europe.
Amazing. Amazing. Everybody's just looking at each other.
I think your pool table's open.
Is it?
Yeah.
This one's for old Shannon.
All right. Like that, I want to clip. I want to play that 100,000 times every episode. This one's for old Shannon. All right. So he goes over and the guy will not let him play because he put down a marker, right, but it costs $1 right to play, not 5 right cents. So Arthi does one of these things where you don't really want to do. And I, you know, I look back at, I'm not really much of a drinker or a partier or a bar type person, but I've been out and I've been to bars and I even got into a bar fight, which is, you know, really a crazy thing to have experienced. And it has a lot to do with the fact that I'm a bit of a wise ass. So this guy came over to me in Croxley's Ale House in Rockville Center, New York. If anybody's listening, it's still open. They were the type of place like Croopers. They would have 10 cent hot wings, that type of stuff. So I was there with my friend Michael and Jay. And this guy comes over to me and he's just like, why are you looking at my girlfriend? And I look at his girlfriend. I look at him and I was not, you know, staring or looking at. So I just asked him, I go, why would I look at your girlfriend? Right. And he punched me.
Oh, God.
Because I said it in a kind of a real, like, why would I even, you know, I think I might have even thrown in even, like, why would I even look at your girlfriend? And, yeah, and that's my story. That's my bar fight. And then we both got thrown out. That was it. That was over. I'm not much of a fighter. I can just take a hit and then I get thrown out.
I hope you returned. I hope you were able to return his punch.
I tried to, but, you know, it was by the time, I would say within a second and a half, we were being thrown out. It was crazy. Maybe they saw like the guy like confronting me for nothing. I did nothing. I did nothing wrong. I'm innocent. But that's the type of thing that this situation would involve. This is the type of thing to get you punched.
Right.
Looks like you missed. Now get off my table unless you feel like dancing with the snowman.
Dancing with the snowman. Another like great Arthurism. And I don't know what that means. I did a little bit of research. I could not find any reference to dancing with the snowman. But it's pretty hilarious.
I'm not going to get to finish the story, am I?
So they break it up. Doug comes home. Arthur's kind of like saying he had a great time, right?
I thought that guy really had us, Douglas, but you lost him with that nifty driving of yours. What do you call that maneuver anyway?
Right turn.
So basically saying how crazy Arthur is, and Carrie is very quote-unquote appreciative.
Thank you very, very, very much. I love you.
Had a couple drinks, did you? I tell you, I don't know what gets into your father sometimes, you know? He's like a boxer that doesn't hear the bell.
So they're making out. It's kind of funny.
Oh, you hit something there.
So again, like, you know, it's almost like a newlywed attitude with them. And, you know, it's nice. Next day we get Doug making pancakes. He's always enjoying, you know, a day after having an evening of bliss, I'll say. Hence the name of the episode, which I think is
head first,
far more risque than a lot of people might give it credit for.
Right.
I love it. There are episodes where no one seems to work. You ever get that? Where, this is Saturday, right? Because last night was Friday.
Yeah.
All right.
Friday night, yeah. So this is Saturday morning, yep.
You're awfully chipper for a guy who was chased out of a bar making girly noises.
Some pancake waffle? How about a pancake waffle combo? Huh? What do you say, like a puffle?
Yeah, any of that's fine.
So, look at the size of these. He's made 1,000 pancakes. That's so funny.
Yeah.
Are you a pancake person?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah. I mean, it's not daily, but at times, you know, once in a week.
Yeah, pancake once a week. That's all. I think of pancakes as twice a year. I'm a person that 2 bites of pancakes, I don't need anymore. It's one of those things. It's just too heavy, I guess. I'm an egg and bacon kind of guy. Let's see. Basically getting everything started with breakfast. Again, we see Doug's watch, keeping a close eye to it. I'm noticing a lot of stuff that I bet a lot of people don't notice. I bring it up all the time. Like this mug thing that's on the wall. I had this growing up. This is like the type of thing you would buy in like a 1970s catalog for like Sears or something like that. But
okay.
So yeah, so we're going to talk about what happened last night.
Certainly was in the sex.
Whoops.
Last night she was, how shall I say, appreciative.
You had sex.
Sort of. Certainly was in the sex family.
What do you mean?
Let's just say that last night was Doug time.
We got our first like kind of Jewish joke. I'm Jewish. Just everyone like goes, he's Jewish. He clicks off. So actually, I have a Little House on the Prairie Jewish thing.
Jewish.
Yeah, I am. So. So we get our first Mazel Tov, which is interesting. We get a few of them peppered through the series, which is kind of funny.
Oh, you mean?
That's right, my friend.
Mazel Tov.
Also, he has pancake syrup in a beaker, which is kind of interesting. But hey, it's a good idea to warm it up. Carrie comes home, and she's in Carrie mode now.
Right.
You know, she's, for all intents and purposes, back to being bitchy Carrie.
Okay, that's not our car.
Wait, this is like...
Blue package in the back seat. No, the blue one. That's not the blue one. Oh, that's not the back seat. Okay, that's not our car. Fine, just bring me that. Hey, okay, honey.
So Carrie is overwhelmed. She has the, bachelor, not the bachelorette party, but the bridal shower that she has to do. It's a big party.
Right.
And Doug is thinking like, hey, maybe I can like make lightning strike twice.
He's greedy. Yeah. Now he has become a bit greedy. I mean, he's thinking about, you know, getting more of the stuff that he got last night. So, you know, he even, offered help to Carrie, and he took her bags and he took her bags from her and placed them on that one of those chairs.
Look at him shoveling his pancake into his face right there.
Right.
But yeah, so you know, he's addicted to the pleasure.
Look, Dad, I have to run back.
Wait, here we go.
By 11. I should have never agreed to throw this stupid party.
Okay, you know what? If you want, I could take your father to the eye doctor.
Deacon's kind of like, what?
Well,
something you might appreciate.
That's great, hon. Thanks.
That didn't land, did it?
Nope.
Yeah. Nope.
How do these figure into the bridal shower?
So he comes in with jumper cables.
Right.
Thank you. Look, Dad, I have to run back out. Doug's gonna take you to the eye doctor.
Listen to how loud Doug yells for Carrie right here. It's really like I didn't notice it until this particular viewing.
You're okay?
Yeah, I'll he follows her outside outside the door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, listen to how loud he yells her name right here.
My head. Thanks.
Carrie!
What?
It's so
I might take your father out for ice cream, too.
Yes!
That's amazing.
Okay, great. Bye.
You know what? Maybe we'll do a dinner and I'll take him to a show, just him and me. It'll inconvenience me, but I'm going to do it. Honey?
We're going to have some good times, you and me. <It's amazing.
laughs> Again, I have to grab this screenshot. It's too funny. So, yeah, Arthur comes out, puts his head on Doug's arm, and he's like, I don't think that landed. We get our first, I guess, major song. I need to go back. This might be one of the first big songs to make it into the entire series.
Series, right.
Red roses too. So they're and it's basically just a montage of them kind of hanging out. Now, have you ever seen the movie Annie Hall by Woody Allen?
No.
So this is one of the things that I'm going to bore people with throughout the entire total of 207 episodes of the King of Queen podcast, probably more, because that's just the way I roll. And I'm kind of like Deacon's family. That's the how I roll. And so because I went to film school and I'm a bit of a film nerd, and I don't even think you need to be much of a film nerd to know this reference. When he's taking the picture with the lobster and everything, and it's definitely a reference to Annie Hall, which is one of my favorite comedies out of the 1970s from Woody Allen. And it's really funny because he does it like naturally. Annie is the love interest, and he does this, and then he tries to recreate it with another girl, and it's terrible. But it's a remarkably hilarious scene, and it's without a doubt a throwback to that scene. I don't know about these other scenes, though. I didn't catch any. These are just regular things. But they go and they get ice cream. They play some air hockey. Arthur's horrible at it. Doug finally lays down to sleep, and Arthur finally scores. Let's see. We put Arthur to bed. We get this amazing scene of Doug with a pillow, kind of wondering if he should just end it all right now. So.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's a funny little shot right there. Arthur has monopolized Doug's life for the most part. So now what he needs to do is he's lost his basement. Like, think about this. We're six episodes in. His father-in-law's moved in. His father-in-law is just a crazy, crazy person. He lost his basement, so he can't play poker in there. And so he's been sent to the garage to hang out with him and his friends. And he can't even turn on the light in the fear of getting Arthur.
So
So they're playing poker by candlelight. And whispering.
Too rich for my blood. I'm out too.
It's so funny.
Call. Aces up. Read 'em and weep. Trip threes.
Aw, man.
Hey, shut up. Arthur will hear us.
Who cares?
I care, okay? Haven't been able to shake the guy all week. Came with me to the dentist, motor vehicle bureau. Even came up with nicknames we're supposed to call you.
This is one I wish the nicknames like really kind of stuck.
Each other.
Yeah.
I'm Scooter, he's Beans.
Beans. So Arthur comes into the garage, he finally locates them, and if you notice, he refers to him right away as Scooter.
Hey, Scooter, what's going on? Hey, Arthur. Tut, 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 tut. Sorry.
Beans.
Hey, Beans.
Beans. Beans. Tut, tut.
We're playing cards in the dark.
Wow.
Oh, that helps out a lot. All right, fellas, the game is called Kick the Dog. Threes, sixes, nines, one-eyed jacks, suicide, kings are wild.
Tell you what, Arthur, why don't you just tell us what's not wild?
Let's fondle the mailman, and we're playing that next.
Fondle the mailman. It's like bizarre. So let's see. We're going to grill Spence. This is going to be our first. Is it our first time learning about Spence's weird relationship with his mother?
I think if I remember correctly, yeah, this is for the first time that audience gets to know that Spence lives with his mother in a one-bedroom apartment, right? Because he cannot afford his own.
Veronica.
Live with your mother.
Oh, here.
All right, let's bet. I go a quarter. Who's in?
Quarter-ish.
Yeah, upper quarter.
All right, let me get this straight. If you live with your mother...
Arthur, it's to you.
I'm very curious. If you live with your mother, what do you do when you have a girl spend the night?
The timing here is perfect.
Okay, what do you do when you have a guy spend the night?
It's got to be one or the other. Girl!
It's got to be one or the other.
It would be a girl.
Who hasn't been?
Look, for your information, I want to move out, but apartments are very expensive. As it is, we pay $750 for a one bedroom.
All right. Mm. Right there. What? Seven? That's it? Like $750 for a one bedroom anywhere in the state of New York is bananas. As somebody who lives on Long Island, it's bananas to get anything for $750.
Mm.
You can barely get a car for $750 a month.
A one bedroom?
I say.
So they have a one bedroom.
Hey, who hasn't bet?
So, where do you sleep,
Arthur?
The living room sofa pulls out, that it?
See, what's interesting here, you see Doug's face, it's pain. It's almost like they don't know and they don't want to know.
Mm.
You know, it's kind of, you hear the crickets.
You share a bedroom with your mother?
Twin beds! Twin beds! There's an entire night table between us!
Easy, easy! I was just making conversation! All right, who's not in?
You know, I think I better be going. I have something in my eye. Could you cash
me
in?
Spence.
Cash me in, Scooter!
That's too funny. Poor Spence. So in a lot of ways, you remember the episode, of course, when Doug and Carrie need a new bed because Doug broke it and they get the twin beds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's kind of like that for Spence and his mom.
Their mom. Right.
It's a tough one. I couldn't imagine. Let's see. They're having the party in the house. They get a blonde woman gets a blonde wig. I didn't really understand that. But Sarah says that she used to wear one all the time when she was slutty, which is a little bit of a dated. It's about as dated as this girl's haircut. You know, definitely 1990s type 90s, of style.
Yeah, typical of 90s.
During this period of time, I mean, I was working in Manhattan, and this is pretty much how everyone dressed. Maybe a little bit. You know, kind of close anyway. So Doug comes in. Whoops.
Other thing.
Whoops.
Your dad ruined it.
What'd he do?
He got on Spence about his personal life.
Oh, the virgin thing?
The living with his mother thing.
I gotta say, hon, they're not completely separate issues.
God, what is he doing to me? Why can't he just leave me alone?
Talking about, you're the one who invited him to be your sidekick all week. Taking
what are you talking about? You know that episode where she's trying to get rid of her accent. What are you talking about?
Talking about
to the movies and the petting zoo.
I love this when she refers to him as a Rottweiler.
Your fault they did that.
Oh, my fault. How is it my fault?
Well. But the first night when I took him out, just to be nice, you know, you were so...
So?
Appreciative.
Appreciative.
He just squints.
Oh! So that's... Because... What are you, a Rottweiler?
What do you want from me?
You are so pathetic.
Not pathetic, weak, okay? There's a difference.
I gotta say, hon, you might be both.
It's really funny. They're ribbing each other, which is, you know, and it's pretty playful and funny. They confront Arthur, and they're like, look, we have to talk to Arthur about not hanging out with Doug anymore.
Doug. anymore, yeah.
And it's funny, he has a flyer, which is really hilarious.
Scoots, I'm glad you're here. I got three words for you. Working dude ranch.
Working dude ranch.
Get back to me with some dates. I cleared out August.
Right.
Actually, Dad, that's kind of what we wanted to talk to you about.
Do you have any friends like this who just are over the top about making plans? I'm really bad with this.
Yes. A couple of them, actually.
And, you know, while I appreciate it, it can be extremely stressful. And I might have mentioned this before, but I'm involved with the Boy Scouts of America, and like my son just got his Eagle. So this is like my final year. I'm like out, you know, finally I've graduated. And it's whenever we're planning, it's kind of like that. It's like, hey, we're thinking about going to Montana, or we're thinking about hiking through Colorado, or we're going to go to the Grand Canyon. It's like, oh my God, I just want to stay home. Like, I don't want to do this. I'm done. Done.
What do you mean?
Well, you've been spending a lot of time with Doug lately.
Great time, by the way. A lot of fun.
He's such an asshole. He's completely throwing Carrie under the bus right here. You'd be a lot of fun. He's even doing a double finger point.
Yeah.
And then she gives the look like this.
And we were thinking, you know, maybe you could do some other things with your time.
Like what?
I don't know.
I would say he even doubles down with being a bit of a jerk here.
Things that don't involve Doug.
What is this about? Doug, what does she mean?
I'm not quite sure. Where are you headed with this, honey?
That's amazing. He's like, what?
Listen to me, Dad. Doug doesn't want you to spend so much time with him. You understand?
Oh, I know what this is. You're trying to drive a wedge between us. You're threatened by Doug's love for me.
Nope, not really.
Then I don't get it. You're the one who courted me.
So this is the final hilarious moment.
He's the one who courted me. Why did you invite me everywhere if you didn't want me around?
Tell the man, Doug.
Tell me.
And this is an example, I think, of Leah Remini being really animated and really funny. And the way this edit is done, is he about to tell, Carrie's dad, you know, exactly why he's been wooing him? He's, looking back and forth if you watch his
eyes. Yeah, those expressions, his eyes.
All right. The game is San Diego Scooby-Doo.
San Diego Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Doo.
So we're back. So he's back in the club.
Three decks.
Right.
We use all the jokers and instruction cards. So, Richie, Scooter says you're not the brightest bulb on the tree.
Amazing. Yo, Moose. One of my favorite quotes from Richie is from... I can't remember. It's one of the ones that I've recently reviewed. It's when Carrie's coming home with her boss, with Evan. Mm-hmm. He goes, yo, Moose. He's using Moose. Everybody, I don't know about in India, but I don't know. Do you have people like Richie? Probably not like Richie, because Richie is super New York. But
right.
I would say most people, on the East Coast of the United States know Richie on some level. And I know a lot of Richies, and they're all good friends. They're all good friends. So here we go. This is going to be the final closer for this episode.
And
oddly enough, we have Sarah Spooner, wearing that shirt again, by the way. This is the second time we've seen her wear this particular shirt, I believe.
Sure.
We're going to get through that, but I do have a question about your opinion about Sarah Spooner, but I'm going to play the clip first. Those little,
you know, this particular scene. In this particular scene, I mean, it's like, and he keeps on suffering ever after.
Yes. Yeah. Now, when I first started watching King of Queens, they would sometimes edit out these little parts at the end, you know, because it was on network television. They're like, hey, you know, screw this. We can squeeze in another commercial.
Right.
Because very often it's not important to the show, and for all intents and purposes, you could end the show right here. Mm. But there's a charm to these endings, and there's a charm to the cold intros. So,
right.
Really, you know, very often I'll watch the entire series, and I'll be like, I don't remember this. I remember this one, but there are other ones which it just doesn't resonate with me because I've not seen it as much. But all right, I'm gonna play this, and then I have some King of Queens questions for you, Nitin.
I would have gotten my own place a long time ago, but what with Dad gone and Mom unable to drive, I pretty much have to live with her. I mean, what's the alternative, right?
That evil laughter is like,
I think it's more uncomfortable because he's just kind of like ogling Sarah.
Yeah.
What do you think? Should we make these t-shirts for the King of Queens podcast? I think we have to.
Chinatown, New York.
Yeah, I mean, Chinatown, of course, is a thing, you know, but I'm thinking people might enjoy it. So maybe I'll make up some and put them out into the world. And is it a whistle on her necklace? Maybe it's just kind of weird pendant. Strange.
Seems like a whistle. If you can zoom it, maybe we can get a better view.
Let's see. You're challenging me here. No, I can zoom. I'm going to zoom it. So I just need to, let's see. I'll bring my screenshot over here. Whoops.
When it comes to Whistle, Doug's sister, who works as what, gymnastic specialist or something, she carries a whistle.
Yeah.
This does not seem like a whistle.
Yeah, it's a little too low to be a whistle. Right. I think it's a necklace of some sort.
You're right. It's a necklace. Or.
But yeah, she has the final word, I think, in the whole episode.
Well, you could get your own place and she could use taxis and public transportation. I'm going to go inside now.
And she never came back out.
You know, we can all, we can all relate with this situation. We can relate to Spence because there are many people here in India who, stay as a joint family. I mean, who stay with their parents because they simply cannot afford to rent their own place.
Same thing
so we
here.
Can relate.
You know, it happens here, of course. You know, people, you know, it's expensive. The world is very expensive. I'm sure there as well as here. But, you know, some people, they go to university and they're like, well, now I need a job. My son is 17 and he'll be going to university next year. I fully expect him to move back. I hope he does because it would give him the opportunity to save money, to find the right job, to not worry about things. I mean, if I can provide, if my wife and I can provide a safe haven for him to, you know, grow up.
Yeah.
You know? It's just, you know, living with your parents. That's tough. Mm-hmm. It's very tough.
So you won't have to, start working early. You can wait until you find the right kind of job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you have support from your parents, you can wait until you get the right job.
Absolutely. And, but Spence, you know, Spence is an anomaly. I think at one point they even say he's 40 living at home or something. But then he moves in with Danny, and that's even weirder.
Later, yeah.
Yeah. So a couple things. I wanted to ask you what your opinion was of Sarah Spooner, why you think maybe they cut her, and whether you think she should have been kept on the show, maybe in a different role.
When it comes to Sarah, yeah, of course, as you pointed out, they could have, they could have reintroduced her with a different character. But, I remember reading this in one of our Facebook groups. Someone had posted that I guess she had signed up for another show. So that's the reason why there's... I remember, I cannot recall the name of the website where I read this, but someone had posted it in one of our groups, Facebook groups.
Yeah.
So probably she moved on, and maybe writers thought there is very little that they can do with this particular character.
Yeah.
They did not exploit it further.
I threw the idea out that I think that it would have been more interesting to me anyway if they had written her in as Doug's sister. It would have been an interesting dynamic. Mm-hmm. And she could have left. I don't know. I feel like I like the character. I really do like Sarah Spooner. Of course, we get Ricky Lake mm-hmm. later, who I think Ricky Lake, she doesn't do very much now that I'm aware of, but she was certainly very funny on the show and outside of the show. I like Ricky Lake a lot. And I just unfortunately haven't followed her career. So we do get some fulfillment of a character like this. I think some people have an issue with, or maybe the writers would be concerned of having two very attractive women on the same show.
Right.
Some people might say that Sarah's better looking. Some people might say that Carrie's better looking. And
Carrie's better looking.
See, everybody's got their favorite Beatle. And it's just one of those things where it's like, maybe they wanted to take the attention off the show. Maybe they wanted to make the show cheaper, easier to write with less characters. I don't know. But I do know... at this period of time, I do want to mention the top movies that were going on in the U.S., which some of these movies I've heard of. I might have heard of them all, but I've not seen them all. Rush Hour, the movie Ants, which we mentioned Woody Allen before with Annie Hall. But Ants, of course, was animated adventure, with Woody Allen as the main character. A Bride of Chucky. These are top movies, in the country. Practical Magic with Sandra Bullock and Nicole Kidman as witch sisters. What universe is this? I've never even heard this movie. And then, of course, the Tobey Maguire and Reese Witherspoon movie Pleasantville, which I cannot believe did as well as it did, because it's I think it's a cute movie, but it's really odd. Top television shows, we had Veronica's Closet, which I've not seen one episode
Veronica's Closet.
Touched by an Angel, I've not seen one episode. Frasier, genius, brilliant show. Friends, never got into it. Not a Friends fan. I don't dislike it, but I'm just not one of the people. I choose King of Queens over Friends. Or I choose Seinfeld over Friends. And ER, which I think was a brilliant show.
ER, yeah. And even Third Rock from the Sun.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know Third Rock from the Sun. A friend of mine who lives right down the street was one of the writers for Third Rock.
Oh,
he likes to tell me about it. He likes to tell me about it a lot, but now he's retired from all of that. And
from the industry.
Okay. He works in a regular, job.
You should try to get him on one of your podcasts because writers and,
I know a lot of writers and directors,
because these people don't get the kind of spotlight they deserve. I mean, for example, as I pointed out earlier, Tony Sheehan is one of the co-writers and one of the executive producers of the show. I mean, this man has worked on shows like Barney Miller, Mr. Belvedere, King of Queens, and even Kevin Can Wait. Mm. So he was also involved in Kevin Can Wait, but most of us don't know Tony Sheehan. I mean, you can just ask a question to everyone in one of our fan pages or in the fan group, and ask people if they know Tony Sheehan. Mm-hmm. So most of them, you know, won't even know who is Tony Sheehan.
Well, I think
unless, of course, they Google or...
Your average fan is not really too interested in the business side of television. Right. And, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people involved, executive producers. And, I mean, I think even Kevin James is listed as, if I recall... Yeah, here we go. Creative consultant Kevin James. Episodes.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious. For it's kind of like, what are you talking about? Yeah, creative consultant. It's not even a real job. So... So, you know, these executive producers, quite a lot of them for this one, which really makes me think that it's very common that this was sold as a block of six. And they're like, yeah, let's pick it up. It's doing well enough. I don't think the show did that well until maybe the third season. I don't know.
2001.
I don't know if the show ever did that well. I love the show, obviously.
You know, this is what I feel. I mean, I'll tell you, when it comes to international distribution, when it comes to Asia, our TV channels or our TV networks pick up shows that are actually doing well in the US. So if King of Queens and even Kevin Can Wait have, you know, made it to India, that means these shows actually did well in the US.
Interesting.
And that's the reason, Indian counterparts actually bought rights for both of these shows. So, you know, we have a channel here called Z Cafe. So this particular channel from the Z Network, they actually pick up sitcoms that are doing good or great in the US. So they get rights and then they air those shows here in India.
Has Little House on the Prairie made its way over to India? I mean, it's 50 years old, but.
Not yet.
Yeah, it might not be in your like wheelhouse. Like it's not. I know that you love 80s and 90s television and films, or just you focus on television.
Oh, films as well. Films and television both. We have some, you know, dedicated channels, TV channels, and streaming platforms over here, which have rights for these shows and movies from 80s and 90s. But you know what? As we are discussing about rights and television rights and streaming rights. What is surprising is that to watch King of Queens, there is no option at present. There is no option to stream Queen of Queens, King of Queens here in India. You can watch it on television. It's aired on Z Cafe right now, but there is no option to stream it. So what I need to do is I need to, I need to download a VPN. Then I need to download Channel 4 UK app. Then I need to select UK as my location and watch it on Channel 4.
Wow.
So Channel 4 has all the seasons. But again, it's only available for audiences in the UK region. So you got to use a VPN. So, and there's no other option. You know, even X-Files is not available in India.
So what
it's
I
so
do,
unfortunate. I mean,
what I do is I run my own personal home server. And I own, you know, I bought the King of Queens, of course. So I ripped it, you know, so I just stream it on my home server.
Oh, sorry. That's really good.
Yeah, that's the best way to do it. And it's, you'll figure it out. I mean, it's just, it's such a great show. It's such a fun show to watch. And it's also great if you can watch it without commercials, right?
Yeah. Channel 4 has a lot of commercials. I mean, 5 minutes of commercials. They force you to watch 5 minutes of commercials to access the second part of any episode. So after 15 minutes, they have this break, and there's no option to skip ads.
Yeah, it's a pain in the butt. I hate ads. And that's one thing that I'm bringing forward with this particular podcast is I'm going to... for the most part, make it commercial free, which is a thing. It'll be a free podcast for everyone to listen to. But I may have different tiers where if you want the episode early or something like that, because I'll be honest, like the first episode of the King of Queens podcast was released and it's a bigger reception than I thought it would be. I thought I would have maybe 100 downloads if I was very, very lucky. We've hit 5,000 downloads with one episode. So I don't know how and why. But I have a feeling that this podcast is going to possibly grow pretty quickly, hopefully. I mean, that, you know, knock on wood, it's a good problem to have. The problem is that when you start getting those kind of downloads, it starts costing more. So I'll deal with that as the time comes. For now, 100% free. But it will always be free. That's my, you know, the podcast will always be free. But the other things that I mentioned, such as video and stuff like that, I have to figure all that out. But I will. You know, I'm here for it. I have this is the sixth episode of the podcast. I have 201 more to go.
Mark, I'm sorry to interrupt you here, but I wish to highlight something. Maybe you're already aware, but King of Queens has a lot of fan following in the UK as well.
I didn't know that.
Because Channel 4 has, you know, since last week, I've been streaming some episodes too, because it's been quite a while since I watched it. So I was streaming a few episodes, and I can say this with confidence that if the show is available on Channel 4, then I can say it, you know, there's a lot of fan following.
There's a big popularity to it.
There's a big, I mean, the show is quite popular in the UK because they're very selective. I mean, they removed X-Files, you know, because
I love X-Files.
Probably because they're not getting the kind of views they were expecting. Yeah. So they removed X-Files, and King of Queens is still there since the last 3 years.
Wow.
So this is the kind of following that, you know, the show has in the UK. So this is a great thing. I mean,
yeah,
you can expect these followers to listen to your podcast on Spotify.
I hope so. You know, but if not, I don't care either. I'll just do my best. I've been talking about doing this podcast for years, and I've made the promise that if the domain name was available, I was going to do it. And this is not that long ago. Mm-hmm. I went and I saw kingofqueenspodcast.com was available. So here I am with you. Sixth episode. Mm-hmm. Every episode is about this. We go in depth.
And Mark, if you don't mind, I want to highlight something from this particular episode, you know, it's not, I mean, I love the show. You love the show, but, it's not that, you know, every episode has got great dialogues. There are some episodes, even in season 3. Of course, we cannot compare these episodes with the pilot because, you know, they obviously give their best when it comes to the pilot. So we cannot compare these episodes with the pilot. But sixth one has some really, really great dialogues, which, you know, I'll give you some examples here. Here's one quote from Deacon. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So when Duck tells him what's happening, Deacon says, "You brought this up on yourself. You know what I'm talking about. You hit the jackpot one night and got a bit greedy.
Yeah.
You're trying to play God." Yeah. So this explains everything. I mean, this sums up the entire episode. These dialogues, they've really worked hard on dialogues. I mean, initially, when Doug is really happy with the reward that Carrie gave him, again, this one is during his conversation with Deacon. He says, "It pays to be nice to your wife's father." Well, it does. At least I know begging and crying doesn't work.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, they really worked hard on dialogues.
But I did want to ask you, what is your favorite episode of King of Queens throughout the entire 9 seasons?
Well, it's the pilot. It's the pilot. I've watched first 4 seasons, but I can say that it's the pilot episode. I mean, the way they have written it, the way they have shot it, even dialogues. I mean, Arthur has got great dialogues. I mean, if you look at Arthur in the pilot, you know, you can clearly see what's in store in the next few episodes.
Yeah.
I mean, the way he keeps on carrying his lucky hot plate everywhere. I mean, I'm sure you remember the pilot. The way they explain how he burnt down his house is really hilarious. I mean, he's just standing there and he says something like, "Is it too late to go for insurance?"
Right.
I mean, his house is burning. I mean, writers, of course, actors deserve the credit, but writers and especially dialogue writers and the director has really worked hard on the pilot.
Right, right.
On the pilot episode. So that remains my favorite.
Oh, good. What about a least favorite episode?
The least one is, I think it's, if I remember correctly, it's season 3, where they get new neighbors.
The which ones?
And,
the Slutskys, whatever, what the, forget their name. The Satskys?
I forgot their name, but it's season 5. It's one of those episodes. I guess it's either episode 2 or 3 from season 5. It's the same episode where Arthur steals those frames.
Yeah, window pane. Oh, yeah. This is when Marcia Cross is in it. And
right.
Yeah, and also Michael Long.
And they try to fake. They are a lovely couple, you know. They try to fake. And
I thought that was a good episode, but, you know, teach their own.
Mm-hmm. He does not like scotch. I mean, Doug does not like scotch, but he tries to taste it, and it tastes so weird that he just goes inside the kitchen and he, pours it down the drain. And his neighbor actually is able to see him draining that scotch. So that one is something. I mean, I won't say it's bad, but it's not certainly up to the mark.
Yeah. You know what? We're all going to have our favorites and least favorites. And,
least favorites, yeah.
Of course. But, Nitin, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to do this tonight. Again, if you want to learn more about what Nitin does, he's an independent journalist, a freelance journalist. You focus on 80s and 90s pop culture. Is that fair to say?
Right.
You could absolutely look at, go to his website, cyberjournal24.in. And, you know, I'll put that in the show notes. And I do appreciate you taking the time to do this. And I look forward to
it. It was a pleasure, Mark.